Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of SB Nation's The Dream Shakes, the Dream Take podcast. My name is Mike Brown. We come to you live like we do after every single Houston Rockets game, preseason, regular season, and, well, postseason, but we won't have to worry about those types of shows for quite a while, unfortunately. Rockets lose tonight, 127-120. I should be joined by my co-host Jeremy Brenner here live fairly shortly. Rockets dropped to 3-14 on the season, 1-5, or they dropped to 1-5 at home. And with that, I welcome the co-pilot of the Dream Take, Jeremy Brenner, to tonight's show. Jeremy, what's up?
What's going on, Mike? What's going on?
That game was wildly entertaining, at the same time wildly frustrating down the stretch for me.
Yeah, I can agree with a lot of that. But honestly, Mike, like, here's kind of where I'm at with this team, right? You know, it's a lot of where I was at the beginning of the year, where,
sure,
you know, this team is just going to play as hard as it can every night, hopefully. And it, you know, it'll make its way. But knowing that this team is 99% not going to be led by Steven Silas at the next stage of this rebuild, I feel like these games that they're losing really close are games that they will win a year, 2 years, 3 years from now, because either A, they'll have a better coach, or B, the players that are there will get better. So I really can't be too mad about this loss, because I know that in the future, games like this, as long as they are on the right path, is going to be won at a future time.
Yeah, I think, first of all, shout out to Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, who are just both ridiculously good. I mean, Klay Thompson, pure shooter-wise, I mean, he's definitely top five of all time. He was unbelievable tonight. And Steph didn't even score in the first quarter, and he ends up with 33. I mean, you give up 74 points to those two guys while shooting 17 of 27 from the three-point line. That's incredible. They were 24 of 47 from the three-point line tonight, Golden State was, for 51%. Man, they're good. I mean, they're really, really good.
It's hard to beat teams when they shoot as well.
Rockets only turned the ball over 12 times tonight. They shot 33% from three. What were they, 15 of 45? I got to tell you, man, I don't know if you caught this at the end. Did you get a look at Tari Eason's facial expressions down the stretch when he's sitting on the bench for the last 6 minutes and 30 seconds?
I can only imagine he's like, put me in that
game. Mean,
he deserved to be in the game at the end.
100%. Him and KJ Martin Jr. They both did. Yes. I mean, KJ tonight in 24 minutes on the court was a plus 12, man. And Tari was a plus 6. I
mean, you take out, say, Eric Gordon.
Yeah.
And you take out Jalen. It's tough with Jalen because obviously he's the player with the highest ceiling.
Yeah.
So you really can't take him out, but he struggled immensely tonight.
Well, he did. And overall, he was 4 of 15. He struggles against the Warriors, man, because
16 points on 15 shots, just not very efficient.
No.
And he got to the line a decent amount. And that's the kind of, you know, and still, like, I think he tries to get, like, he tries to go for fouls, and that's what he should be doing, but he's still not there physically to where he can draw that contact a little bit. And maybe it is a rookie thing or a second-year player, young player kind of thing as well. But once he's able to, like, build his body to absorb that kind of contact, he'll get more foul calls going his way. That's the kind of player, you know, it kind of reminds me of James Harden. You know, Harden, he's so good at drawing fouls and that aspect of it. I see Jalen's game kind of in lockstep with that in some regards. But yeah, once Jalen gets that part of his game, I think it's going to really open up all the levels of his game. So while it's frustrating that he, and I think that that version of a player is what can become a superstar in the NBA. Not necessarily the player that he, you know, he could be right now. Like, he's trying to be a player that is better than who he is at the moment. Because he will become better than the player he is. But who he is now is, you know, it's not enough to lead a team to victory night in and night out. It's just, you know, he's not there yet.
I feel like, you know, I think you're spot on with that. He struggles against the Warriors. I mean, the Warriors are really, really tough to play against, man. And, you know, I laugh because people were worried about them this year. They're 8-9. Their bench is terrible. They've still got Klay. You've still got Steph. You still have Draymond Green. You still have
the Anthony Lamb curse. I'm almost positive.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Sean points out, what's the point of having guys like Eason, KJ, and Garuba, whose sole purpose is to help stop teams like this and then don't play them when you need them in crunch time? I mean, we're not going to get into the Silas debate again because we're on the same page at this point, Jeremy, I feel like.
That's a Silas decision, and it was the wrong decision.
It's bad. I mean, it's also a bad decision, man.
When you trade Eric Gordon in the middle of the season, you know, if this game were, say, after the trade deadline, I think you'd probably see Easton or KJ in there over Gordon. So that's kind of where I'm at with that question. It's a good question. But I think with Garuba being in there, I didn't really have a huge issue with Garuba being in there over Şengün. They wanted Garuba to kind of guard Curry, and I think that he was probably the best fit for that outside of Jabari Smith. But then Jabari Smith had Klay Thompson, so it's like, you know, you really couldn't have you needed more defense out there. And, you know, Tari could have been that for you, but at the same time, you know, the team isn't necessarily making that kind of level of thinking yet.
Well, and I want to take a page out of the Jeremy Brenner playbook here. Tonight was the perfect night to play Jabari at the five. Like, if you're going to go small, play Jabari at the five is the way I would have gone. Like, my rotation down the stretch would have been KPJ, Green, KJ, Tari, and Jabari. I mean, that's the five. That's the five they needed to run with.
And Garuba is called a backup five, but I feel like when Garuba's out there with Jabari Smith, those two are entertaining anyway.
Yeah, they're playing two forwards at that point.
Yeah.
And look, man, Jabari, I mean, another good game for him tonight. 22 points, 7 rebounds. He was 3 of 9 from the 3-point line, 8 of 14. Like, he just needs more shots, man. And I get it. He got 14 shots tonight.
It's a lot of mouths to feed. It's a lot of mouths to feed. And that's the one primary problem with this Rockets team right now, is that there are so many mouths to feed. And that's why you got Tari hungry on the bench. He's proving why he needs more. Because he's, you know, in limited action tonight, 19 and 8 from Tari. I mean, I still, in every phenomenal game I watch Tari Eason, I say, how did 16 teams pass up on him?
I have no idea.
The Rockets, I guess, had a pick before that. But again,
I think he's going to make it. I think he's going to make the All-NBA first rookie team. I really do.
There's a decent shot. I mean, like, I would say right now,
he's special.
You know,
he's
Jabari, a special talent. Jabari probably has more of a chance, I would say, over Tari, just because Jabari gets more minutes. But right now, you're looking at, like, Paolo, Benedict Mathurin, maybe Jabari, and then Jaden Ivey.
What's his name? And Sacramento's having a good year, too.
Keegan Murray. Shadon Sharpe also having a good year. He's definitely in the running. I would definitely say that. But I would say also, you know, it's still really early in the year. So a lot of playing time, a lot of time to, you know, for people to change. I think Jaden Ivey will probably make that first team, though, especially if Cade is going to be out for a while, which, you know, he just got hurt. So he's and might need surgery in the middle of the year. So definitely not what you want to hear. But I think Tari's chances of making that will get better if he plays a little bit more.
Yeah, tonight, I got to tell you, I was disappointed by Şengün's performance tonight as a whole. But this type of game, it does not suit him at all. He looked lost. He came in, when was it? He had the bad turnover in the fourth quarter. I think there were 7 minutes. Oh, I mean, that play, I think it's time to have a conversation about Deshaun Nix and Ty getting those backup point guard minutes. There's a lot of things to discuss on this roster right now, but I got to tell you.
The thing with Deshaun Nix, though, is that his number, the analytics point towards Deshaun Nix being the right fit there. But then again, you know, he had no points tonight. So at the same time, it's just like, you know, you need someone there that, look, you could have someone that's a little bit more dynamic. Not saying that that's Ty, not saying that that's Josh Christopher.
Sure.
You know, it could be any of them. But, you know, Deshaun Nix at this point, it's a little bit, I feel like we're stalling. Like, I feel like we're plateauing maybe a little bit. I just don't know what more we're going to, like, I don't know if there's a next level from Deshaun Nix. Like, I feel like I see that with Tari Eason. Like, I feel like there's another level there. I feel like with KJ Martin, there's another level there. Garuba as well. And even Şengün, Jalen Green, Kevin Porter, like Jabari. Like, with all of those guys, I don't think we've seen the best from them. With Deshaun Nix,
no.
I am less confident that we have seen the, like, there's more to come.
He's a perfect example, though, of the plus-minus not telling the full story. Because if you were to check the box score tonight, he's a +7 in 13 minutes. Most of those minutes, if not, no, I think nearly all of...
Because he was on the floor during...
the Goon Squad.
He was on the floor in those late first quarter when they were down 20. And then they, you know, then they kind of piled back on because they got... He was up against the Warriors bench. And the Warriors bench, you know, is...
Correct. He had 5 assists tonight, though. Yeah, I mean, he did have 5 assists tonight, so I give him credit for that. I would just like to see – you talk about this all the time, and I think it's a good point. Like, when the Rockets are good again, Ty Washington obviously has a much higher chance of being a part of that team versus a guy like Deshaun Nix. Like, immediately this year, if the Rockets, let's say, land the number 2 pick, they're taking Scoot Henderson – and all of the sudden now you're talking about a crowded backcourt already, Deshaun Nix will be gone. And to be fair, so it's Ty. But I feel like Ty could still be an end-of-the-bench type of guy. Good locker room guy, does all the little things right. So I'd like to see him with...
I mean, I don't know if we could say that about Ty, who hasn't played in the NBA.
Well, no, but I mean, watch his games. When I talk about doing the little things, if he can develop a good three-point shot, good facilitator of the ball, that was his mantra at Kentucky. That's what I'm speaking to.
There's more potential.
There
with
is. There's a that's, much higher ceiling.
That's the thing, because we haven't seen him yet, and that's the biggest thing.
Well, we have seen a dosage of him, but not in meaningful games.
No, we have. I mean, I'm saying, Mike. I'm saying we have not seen, you know, him play like really anything in the NBA.
Sure, yeah, but his time in the G League,
he had one game.
Yeah, his time in the G League though is time wasted, in my opinion. I know there are people out there.
If you go to the G League, Deshaun Nix is has way better numbers in the G League than Ty has.
But that's the thing is, like, numbers in the G League don't mean anything to me. Now, you send him down there because he's going to get more playing time based on this current rotation. I'm just speaking to it on a larger scale. I know a lot of people are high on the G League. I'm not. Like, for a team like us, I need these guys. These high draft pick guys playing like in meaningful basketball. I'm not saying G League is not meaningful. I'm just saying that when the option is there to play him and them on this roster, you do it because they need those minutes right now.
Yeah, but I mean, the whole Knicks versus Ty debate, the only thing that to me it favors Ty is the fact that, you know, there's unlocked potential at this point. With Deshaun Nix, we've seen it, and we don't know, you know, and we don't know how much further it can go. But you look at the two, Deshaun Nix is younger, first of all, even though he's played more in the NBA because he came into the NBA earlier than Ty.
Mm-hmm.
So you, age thing benefits Deshaun Nix, even though he's a second-year player versus a rookie. Deshaun Nix has succeeded more at the previous level at the G League than Ty Ty has. Granted, Dacia Nix has more of a sample size there. But I feel like when it comes to Nix and Ty Ty, it's like, you know, we're talking about, like, who, like, they're both going to be, like, irrelevant a year or two from now. Like, I really don't think either of them have much of a future with the Rockets, to be honest with you.
I don't think it's fair to say that about Ty Ty, just because
I'm saying that with Ty Ty because while he hasn't had a chance to prove that yet, knowing the fact that the Rockets have, again, multiple first-round picks coming in next year, and then the year after that, it's, you know, just the chances of them making an impact on this roster long-term are just very slim.
Yeah. I think Ty Ty is the backup point guard of the future for this team because he's cheap. He's on a rookie deal for 4 or 5 years. Okay.
I think someone better will come along. That's fair. What I'm saying.
I think it depends. Like I said, I mean, if they end up drafting Scoot Henderson, yes, Ty Ty is essentially gone at that point. But if they end up...
Or Nick Smith or, you know, like...
Yeah. It's going to be really... Tonight was a night because, I mean, we've talked enough backup point guard on this roster for the show. Because there are some other things I look at a game like tonight. This is the first game where I'm not even upset that they lost. I'm more frustrated by the fact that Tari and KJ deserve those minutes down the stretch. They took a NBA down to the wire and gave them everything that they wanted tonight. I was a little upset that there wasn't one Rocket that got extremely physical with Clay and Steph tonight. That was a little upsetting. Like the NBA of yesteryear, somebody would have put Clay Thompson or Steph Curry on their ass tonight.
I'm not going to disagree with that.
You know what I mean? Like, I was thinking about that tonight. Like, what would Vernon Maxwell have done to Clay Thompson tonight?
Vernon Maxwell would never have let Clay Thompson get
exactly as he did. Exactly.
And I mean, look, Clay Thompson is, you know, arguably one of the top five shooters of all time.
Easy.
I would say probably number two behind Steph, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But
Ray Allen. Yeah.
But I would say, you know, like, it's too much. Like, I don't, like, they are all-time greats, but when you're on the same floor, you're on the same level. And right. you gotta be able to compete with whoever's in front of you. And I think for the most part, the Rockets did. So I really can't be too mad about the effort. Maybe at the beginning, they came out a little bit flat, while Golden State, you know, came out really hot. And they kind of were able to keep that throughout. They did have that little bit of a dip in that second quarter. But yeah, I would honestly say for the Rockets, it does come down to you got to play four good quarters. And tonight they played three or maybe two. I don't know if that fourth quarter, I would count as like a good quarter, but you look at the quarter versus like quarter to quarter, I think is how most teams, look at the game. You know, they don't look at, you know, oh, how did the game go? They look at each quarter and they look at it like four mini 12-minute games. And you say, okay, the first quarter we lost, second quarter we won. And I think, you know, if you do add the first half together, what was it a tie?
They were down 12 after one, and then they outscored Golden State by 16.
So they're up four at half.
Yes. Yeah. And then they lost quarter three by seven and lost quarter four by four.
So you played one good quarter. Two if you count, you know, so that to me is like, it's hard to win a game when you only win one quarter.
For sure.
Sometimes, you know, maybe you win a quarter by so much that it dictates the whole game. But in tonight's case, the first quarter and the second quarter kind of cancel each other out. And it was a tight game from that moment on, from the second half on. And the Rockets kind of fizzled in at the end because they don't have the same experience that the Warriors do playing in all of these playoff games and tight games over the years. And it's a learning experience. It's a game where I think later in the season, if this game were to happen, I think the Rockets might win. But it's early in November, and the Rockets couldn't get the win.
For sure. Let's go to a good friend of the show. You and I haven't talked to this individual in a while. Shane, welcome to the show. Shane, how are you?
Yeah, what's up, man? It's good to speak.
What's up, man?
It's good to speak to you guys, man, after so long, man. Like, the only reason I'm getting to talk to you guys is because I got COVID a few days ago, so that I'm just like at home in Australia, bro. So,
well, yeah. We hope you feel better, brother. What's going on?
I'm feeling better now, but good. Well, I was feeling better until Klay Thompson and Steph Curry brought back the trauma of yesteryears. But I think like today is just like the last two games is just like a classic example of like why coaching is so important, right? Like you look at the last two games and like we're going up against Rick Carlisle and Steve Kerr, and you can see like the quality of coaching just comes through like in the end, like especially in the last quarter or so. Like today was the first game in a while that I didn't feel like so mad watching Houston play though, because like I felt like our effort was like top notch, but it's just frustrating because you know like the coaching is what's ruining us from getting to where we need to go, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it's a good point, Jeremy. You know,
I think coaching is probably a third of the battle, in my opinion, or close to it. I'd say it's a one third coaching, one third just sheer talent, and one third effort. And I think you look at the effort, I think the Rockets gave a better effort tonight than the Warriors. I think the talent goes to the Warriors. And I think the coaching goes to the Warriors. So if you lose two out of those three aspects, you know, it's difficult. But also because the talent gap in the NBA is so tight now, like even a team like the Warriors who won, won the championship last year, they are, you know, they're just as like the Rockets were able to still find a way to stay in it. Like you're not seeing as many blowouts anymore, I think, this season. And you're also seeing lower teams have a chance against some of these better teams like tonight. So I would say that the Rockets with the coaching battle, they're losing that almost every night. And with that, it means you got to be better talent wise. You got to be better effort wise. And on those nights, it's tough. It's tough to win both of those against some of these teams that they've been playing, because they've also been playing some pretty strong teams in the first quarter of the season so far. We're almost at the quarter way point of the season, which is insane. But
well, everyone looks really strong when you're coming last. I'm not gonna lie, but
yeah. But also like talent, yeah. The talent level, I would say on Friday night against the Pacers, I would say the Rockets were probably more talented than the Pacers, just individually. But effort-wise, I don't think it was there all the way. And coaching-wise, definitely wasn't. So, yeah, it's difficult to win these games when you're already down one out of those three aspects.
Any final thoughts from you, Shane, before we wrap the show up, my man?
Well, like I love EG, but like it is kind of sad to see his time in Houston ending like this, man. Like, I really think like we should have traded him at the trade deadline last year to a contender, because we would have had at least a first round pick, and it would have been a great time for him to go.
Another first round pick, though, to add to all of the other first round picks that we have here. I don't know if first round picks are going to be the way to go anymore with this group. I just feel like because then you run into that problem tonight where it's like, well, Josh Christopher didn't even play tonight. And it's like that was a first round pick you had last year. And you've Garuba to feed. You have Tari Eason to feed. You've got all of these guys to feed, and more are coming. So when
I would trade it for another future first round pick. That's what I kind of meant. Like what the Knicks did. You know, the Knicks traded for future first round picks.
It would have to be some creative kind of deal. To me, I think the Rockets, it's getting to a point now where once they get a point guard, I really – and I don't think that Kevin Porter is necessarily like – when I say – I don't think he needs to be the only point guard on the team. I think he needs someone else alongside him to kind of share those duties, and kind of maybe him and Jalen Green all three of those guys share those duties. But once they get another point guard, I really don't think this group needs another infusion of youth. There's plenty of youth there. Plenty of unlocked potential. There's plenty of all that. And I really don't think I think we can run with the group that we got.
Totally agree. Shane, always good to talk to you, my man.
Good talking with you guys, thanks, man. Shane.
Take care. All right, brother. Feel better.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I think as this season goes on, if we get games like this more often than not, I'm going to be okay. You know what I mean? Like, I can live with tonight's result. I would have liked to have seen some different things tonight, obviously. But I think the guys, especially like Tari Eason and KJ, are coming along with this group nicely.
Yeah,
and it's good to see, you know?
I'm going
to
be really curious to see how this because they don't play until Friday. So they've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Blessed.
To really get some good practices in. To really, like, to fix some of these, you know, errors that they're making. And I wonder how they'll come out Friday against Atlanta, because I think if they come out flat against Atlanta, then I'm really going to start asking questions again. Yeah. And like, they have a back-to-back Friday, Saturday, cause they've got 4 days off. OKC is on that second half of the back-to-back, another winnable game, I feel. So if they can, and one of those games, they probably won't play with Eric Gordon. So you'll probably get more minutes opportunities for Tari, for KJ. Oh, and did you hear Bruno Fernando might be coming back too? So
very excited.
A lot is going to be happening over these next couple of days as we go through the holiday. And when we get back from the holiday, that should be interesting. Because after this, so kind of looking, I'm looking at the schedule here real quick. After this two-game homestand next weekend, they go on the road for four games. Two at Denver, Phoenix, and Golden State. Phoenix and Golden State, the back-to-back. Mm. Then they go to then they host Philly at San Antonio, and then after that game against San Antonio on the 8th of December, oh, another winnable game, they are home for the next seven games. Seven-game homestand, you got, Mike. Milwaukee, Phoenix, Miami, Portland, San Antonio, Orlando, Dallas. A couple winnable games in there as well, especially the fact that it's at home. And I think now we're going to see, like, you're starting to see Jabari starting to figure it out. Tari starting to figure it out. I want to see more from Jalen, but I feel like he's going to figure it out. If what we saw last season reigns true for this season, these guys are going to figure it out. It's just a matter of time.
No, I couldn't have put it any better myself. And this is a decent place to park the rocket ship. Thank you all for listening to the show. Tonight, as Jeremy pointed out, we are off until Friday. So from all of us here at the Dream Take, we want to wish all of our incredible listeners, supporters, viewers, a very happy Thanksgiving to you and to your families. Enjoy the time off from Rockets basketball. This has been another episode of SB Nation's The Dream Shakes, The Dream Take podcast. If you are on Twitter, follow The Dream Take at The Dream Take. You can follow The Dream Shake at Dream Shake SBN. You can follow my co-pilot, Jeremy Brenner, on Twitter at...
Jeremy Brenner is Jeremybrenner. You can follow my co-pilot, Mr. Michael Brown, on Twitter at...
MikeBrown_2020. If you're on Facebook, make sure to search The Dream Shake and give us a like there. Finally, head on over to thedreamshake.com on any day that ends in Y for all things Houston Rockets all the time. Once again, your very unhappy final tonight from inside of Toyota Center, 127-120. The Rockets drop their record to 3-14 on the 2022-2023 campaign. We'll talk with you Friday night, Rockets fans. And until next time, go Rockets.